Our mother returned to us 2 days after we spread her ashes over Notley Fern Gorge. She was definitely our mother, but at the same time, she was not our mother at all. Since her dispersal among the fronds of Notley, she had changed. Now her skin was carpeted by spongy, verdant moss and thin tendrils of common filmy fern. Six large fronds of tree fern had sprouted from her back and extended past her waist in a layered peacock tail of vegetation. And her hair had been replaced by cascading fronds of lawn-coloured maidenhair, perhaps the most delicate fern of all. This kind of thing wasn't uncommon in our family. Our grandmother had reappeared a few days after her ashes were scattered into the north-facing strait at Hawley Beach. She'd been sporting a skirt of cowrie shells, a fishhook in her tongue, a skin of shifting sand, strands of kelp for hair, and a large greenlip abalone suckered onto the back of her neck as she approached a group of terrified fishermen, her wrinkled arms outstretched and the sound of crashing waves swirling out of her salt-rimmed mouth. Our great-aunt Margaret had also returned, not long after her ashes had been poured over the family farm down at Bothwell. When she'd wandered back into her living room, she immediately started shedding sheets of paperbark all over the carpet, while an ornate crown of blue gum branches burst from her head and the furred tail of a Bennett's wallaby flopped out from beneath her dress. And our cousin Ella had been spotted a week after her ashes were given to the high-scraping winds of Stack's Bluff. With a speckled body of dolerite and an iced face of hard sky, she strode into her former school and marched slowly through the grounds, leaving a trail of snapped frost behind each fallen step. There were others too, aunts and cousins and ancestors fused with leaf and lichen, root and rock. It had been happening for generations, ever since our ancestors had come to the island, or maybe even longer. Nobody seemed to know. The only sure thing was the ratio. Around a third of the McAllister women returned to the family after they'd been cremated. The men never did. They all had their own reasons for returning. Unfinished business, old grudges, forgotten chores. Once they'd done what they came back for, they trudged back to the landscape that had respawned them, and we never saw them again. Our mother came back for 4 days. My sister, Charlotte, and I guessed that it had something to do with our father, who hadn't spoken to any of us in years, but our mother didn't give anything away. On the first day, she showered for 6 hours. Like real ferns, her leafy appendages required a lot of moisture. On the second day, she limited herself to a 2-hour shower and wandered around the house, trailing her delicate fronds across family photos and heirlooms, ignoring Charlotte and me as we tried to talk to her. On the third, she stopped showering altogether. And on the fourth, she walked out the front door, smiled at the winter sun, and hiked for a full day to our father's house, where she waited on his lawn for him to find her. By the time he did, she'd been without water for 2 days. Her foliage was brown, cracked, dust dry. As our father walked towards her, she began vigorously rubbing two of the large tree fern fronds together. When he was within speaking distance, a thin curl of smoke began rising from her back. And when he reached out to touch her mossy face, a crackled lick of fire spread up, over, and through her. He recoiled, falling backwards as her body swarmed with flames, and she burned, fast and bright and loud, blood orange in the night. While this event upset us, and I guess our father as well, although I can't be certain, I quickly got over it. Everyone dies, even when they're reincarnated. But Charlotte struggled to move on. The black patch of burnt grass in our father's lawn glued itself into her mind. I began to find her staring at the forest, touching plants, sniffing rocks, licking trees. Currawong calls would draw her down into the gullies that carved through our property. Whale spray, rising from the nearby ocean, threw her into fits of uncontrollable screaming. I wondered what form she would take when she returned to me, which brought thoughts of our mother, burning to ash for the second time. These thoughts proved endless and worrying and terrible. And the more Charlotte struggled, the more I worried. So I did what I thought was right. I started looking for a coffin, and I swore to bury her whole and still and cold.